Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there on Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. It's been a hard day and night, and I've been working like a dog. I work, you know, I got my job, J-O-B, so hopefully those out there are listening to me, that rhymes, and you're off your job, you're done. By the time you hear it, you might be actually even at your job, if you are good. If you don't have a job, Mike Rowe, I'll recommend MikeRoweWorks.com. He has a section of his site that posts actual jobs. So what he does is he screens a bunch of companies who are not posting, not fake jobs, but jobs where, you know, they put up a job post knowing they already got somebody in mind. This isn't those. He actually screens them to find companies that are willing to hire. This doesn't change the requirements. It just makes it towards a fair level playing field. So if you are in the market for a job, I will recommend MikeRoweWorks.com. That's MikeRowe, R-O-W-E, works.com. I do recommend using your computer, not your automobile what's it phone, but actually sit down at a computer. You don't have a computer, shame on you, but you don't have a computer, go to your neighborhood library or something else and get on a computer, because you're going to need to fill out a resume, look like a professional. You're not typing on your phone. You're not texting a thing. You know, you need to do it right, because we want to help you get a job. I'm not paid by Mike Rowe. I wish I was, because I'm a big fan of his. But if you are looking for a job, that's what I would steer you. Meanwhile, cryptocurrency, for some of those who are not working, you're kind of pissed off because, you know, you're not working. You were hoping that cryptocurrency would negate the need for you to actually work a job. And unfortunately, due to a recent crash, you're kind of feeling like it's not so good. It's not looking great. And you don't know what's going on. And I don't have an answer. There's a lot of theories. A lot of people online have theories. I can share theories, but I don't know how good it is. I will take a minor victory lap, because, you know, some of those people told you we were going up to the hundreds of thousands, we're going to bounce off and go up to the moon, and then Leister here at CryptoTalk.fm told you that felt like we were going to the 80s, at least in the short term, and here we are, and I'll get to the numbers here shortly, but here we are in those 80s, just like he told you. You know, Uncle Leister is always looking out for you. We're always trying to make sure you have as best information as I can see it, and you notice, you know, I don't pull out charts, I don't draw lines and Bollingers and all this garbage, because I think sentiment is the most important measure you can use in order to understand what the direction of cryptocurrency is going to be, like any stock, anything else. So I'll share a tidbit near the end about a recommendation that I have, and it's a repeat of an older episode, but I'll share that recommendation. In the meantime, I love that the price is going down, you know, because I felt like it was just running too damn hot. We had to get to some calm sense, you know, we had to calm down. And that allows buying opportunities. And it just so happens, money's going to flow my direction. Might have already flowed, actually. Flowed my direction to where I can use some of that to stack some bills and chill. And I wish we had an FTX type crash, you know, to buy Bitcoin at $12,000. Because if I could do that, this house is paid off. Anyway, we're going to talk cryptocurrency. I don't think this will be a long episode. There's a lot of things to talk about, but I don't think it'll be a long episode. I don't want to waste your time. I want to get to the nitty gritty of what I saw. And I want to share some thoughts on some random stuff, crypto related, random stuff. And fortunately, you know, there wasn't too much fallout from what happened before with Bleavs and everything else. So that's good. We didn't see a lot of follow up, but I am going to be talking about some of the extra comments that came as a result of it, because I get a chuckle out of those things. Like I said, when he gets attacked, that's the entertainment. It doesn't happen long enough. So meanwhile, let's jump in. You might want to strap in on this one, because I don't know, as I said, the truth of what's really going on. I can share theories. I don't know how good they do, but I'll tell you what I think is happening here and what we do next. Coindesk.com, and we're going to zoom out to the month chart for Bitcoin, although I know that makes you cringe, but I am going to zoom out to the month chart for Bitcoin, starting first with the raw numbers, the rough numbers, and just how bad it was. A low of 86,000, a high of 92.6. This is just in the last 24 hours, a major drop like a rock, currently trending at the 88,500 mark. And on the month chart, you can see just how severe this dump really was. major outflows of money from Bitcoin, as well as some of the other tokens. This absolutely freaked the market. It caused a cascade effect, as it always does, as people see, because unfortunately people are trained to, and I wish they wouldn't be, but they buy on green, they sell on red. They shouldn't do it, but that's what they do. And of course, liquidations makes everything worse. Meanwhile, Ethereum seemed to weather the storm a little bit better, and I'm going to talk about that in here in a second, but a low of 2,300, a high of 2,500, currently hovering around the 2,500 mark. Although it had a drop on the month chart, it wasn't nearly as severe as Bitcoin. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that Lyster was telling you the truth when he said, it feels like this pump cannot sustain and it feels like it's artificial, because if Bitcoin is not running up like Bitcoin, or if Ethereum rather is not running up like Bitcoin, it means that there's something going on with the whole eco where it's not real. Because Ethereum should have ran. That's why I was saying it should have ran by now. We should have seen higher numbers from Ethereum, and we never did. That's why I suspect Ethereum couldn't go anywhere, because it was already at the raw bottom and it was Bitcoin running super hot, like an artificial pump in a way. And it had to cool off. And then some of that profit money from Bitcoin simply flowed into other garbage projects that are out there. And so then those ran hot, but none of it sustained. And then I felt like we needed to cool down. Some of the theories online spun around Donald Trump and the tariffs, where they said, look, we think that the tariff is spooking the market. True enough that NASDAQ and others were reacting to what was going on in the international space. And true enough, that's what's going on with Ukraine caused a little bit of turmoil. But the bottom line, I felt Bitcoin was running too damn hot and it had to cool off at some point, and now is the best time to do it, which means it should bounce back and recover pretty quickly. And I do suspect that some of the stuff that's going on with the SEC kind of rolling back their stuff might help positive sentiment and help this momentum get back to where we want it to be. Speaking about the SEC recently dropped investigation on a Uniswap. I covered this on a past episode, where they were coming after the DeSantis side, and Uniswap basically said, you know, we're going to fight this because I don't see how you have a case on anything. Uniswap is jumping for joy right now at the news that the SEC is going to back down. And then, of course, they had previously backed down on Robinhood and OpenSea. I felt like the OpenSea was a cash grab. That was a joke. Robinhood, they need to get something slammed on them. But Uniswap made no damn sense. It was completely decentralized and had no anything close to a security, but they got the Wells notice like some of these other ones. And I frankly thought it was a joke overall. I'm glad to see that was dismissed. Does that affect the broader market? I do think that certain of the market will expand as a result, specifically Ethereum. Because remember, Uniswap is primarily Ethereum. Again, it goes back to Ethereum. All roads lead to Ethereum. If we don't see a run on Ethereum, none of the rest of it really matters, because Ethereum seems to be the backbone of a lot of the other tokens that are getting launched. It's not Bitcoin. Bitcoin is largely centralized around the wealthy mother fathers. So I just felt, no, this has to be something on the Ethereum side that needs to be resolved. And if we don't resolve it, none of the rest of the pumps matter. It didn't mean that you couldn't take profit off of what was running up, and hopefully you did. But it also meant that there still is a strong profit up, despite the idiot Vitalik the rug puller. There's still an opportunity for profit on the Ethereum and all the tokens on that chain. And I was waiting to see that there was some sort of price movement positive on the Ethereum side and hadn't seen it yet. So I wasn't sure, is there something other than the idiot that was causing this crap out, or was it simply artificial pumps? Again, others seem to speculate that the tariffs are causing a lot of the turmoil that we see specifically on Ethereum, but also the recent dip on Bitcoin. Speaking of those same tariffs and how this works, Trump, President of the United States, came out recently saying tariffs are going forward on time, on schedule. That's a quote, because he was pushing for tariffs across the board. He's going hot and heavy on them. And then the industry-wide sentiment seemed to shift to the negative because we didn't know how it was going to affect price. I thought I would take a moment to explain this to some people that don't understand. The whole point of a tariff in the traditional sense, I'm not talking the modern sense, I'm talking the traditional sense. The whole point of a tariff is to discourage international trade. It's to discourage it. That's the bottom line. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It means it's discouraging it. He wants the companies to build, manufacture, and deliver domestic. He wants you to be buying American-made products. Then you'll say prices will go up. You are correct. He wants you to buy American. Here's the truth about price of things. There's a number of different things that go into the price of something. There's regulatory standards. There's inspection standards. There's all sorts of licenses. There's store distributions. There's property taxes. There's all these different micro pricing things that go into the price you pay for goods and services that you consume. China and others on the international shore cheat. They don't pay the vast majority. They don't pay for physical space. They don't pay for licenses a lot of time. They don't pay for inspections a lot of time. They don't pay for protections. They don't have the oversight that we have, where they have to do inspections of the farms and inspections of the warehouses, employee safety. All of these things is what you're paying for. And the reality is that you, as a citizen of the United States, should welcome buying and supporting American companies regardless of the price. I know that burns, but here's the truth. Quality of everything that we bought started to decline the moment that we started to embrace more international made products. Notice how many recalls there are of the vehicles being manufactured when we lost Detroit, when Ford ducked the smoke and got rid of United States made stuff. When we lost GM, when we lost Dodge, when we lost Plymouth, when we lost Maserati, when we lost all these companies manufacturing US at one point, notice the decline of quality. Notice the decline of preference. Notice that every freaking car is ugly as sin, and they have all sorts of critical issues where they're getting recalled left to right to Sunday. That's a direct byproduct of them being manufactured overseas, because those companies are saving money by laxing on those standards. You no longer have the quality. This isn't suggesting that cars were always safe. There was a time Ford stood for found on road dead. There was a time that the Ford Pinto was most notorious for blowing up in the middle of the thing. I'm not suggesting that we always had safety. I'm saying that if you look at the quantity of recalls happening now, it's skyrocketing. If you look at the quantity of planes that are having mysterious, weird issues to them, it's skyrocketing. A lot of those parts come from international seas. So what he wants you to do is to proudly consume American and be willing to pay the extra prices for doing so. In addition to this, when the tariffs are in effect, when there's actual tariffs happening, a lot of those companies have already started talking about pulling their stuff back to the U.S. That increases jobs. Increase of job availability means people are going to consume more. Consuming more includes cryptocurrency, which may have a positive impact on you. These are things that people don't think about, because all they care about is the sticker shock of a thing. Seeing $7 for a dozen eggs. I understand it sucks. I used to, you know, I remember the time. There's 2 for $5 Big Macs. I remember the, do you remember the time? I do remember the time. I'm saying I would rather buy and purchase American if I knew everything I needed was manufactured here and made here. A lot of times there's things that I use on a regular basis and it's simply not made here. I have to go to Amazon to get it. Unfortunately, a lot of you Americans got rid of the notion of going to the mall. So a lot of the malls shut down because you refused to go to the mall. And that's where I would go to get a lot of my stuff. So I don't have that ability. It's your fault. I'm saying that this is the world that Trump's pushing for. And if we can get it successful, it's going to have a positive note on crypto, not a negative one, in the long term. In the short term, there's going to be that burn. It's going to be an impact and it's going to be negative. It's not going to feel good, especially talking about Bitcoin and its price. Speaking of Bitcoin, Bitcoin allegedly was forecasted by analysts as it's going to go even lower, meaning that the 88,000 mark current is not the bottom. And people think it's going to go even down. I said before, somewhere in the 70s, and I said, that feels like it's a little bit too much low. And I also said, Ethereum should have run up and it didn't move. And then here it was barely a blink in anybody's eye, which told me that if Ethereum's truly at a bottom and Bitcoin's headed towards a bottom, well, what's really the true bottom of Bitcoin? I would suspect that the Bitcoin bottom, the new bottom right now, given all of the purchases and acquisitions, liquidations and everything, has got to be in the 80s range. I don't think it goes any lower, but maybe I get it wrong. I'm going to be watching it close, but maybe I get it wrong and it does go beneath there. Also, we have to look at Solana, because Solana was affected by the dips of Bitcoin, but it was also, as a compound effect, affected by Binance. And a lot of these were selling on the Solana, so that's depressing the price. You got to understand, overall, There's multiple things at play. There's sentiment issues. There's also actual legit dumps of the stuff. There's liquidations happening. And then, of course, FOMO panic selling. So we got a little bit more pain, is my point, in the short term before we get to a long-term run of any kind. In the meanwhile, we also have situations where there's good things happening for lawsuits and legal actions that are happening. And although they may not have a major impact on sentiment, any news that's good like this can do only help. It can only can't harm. It can do only help. Speaking of such law cases, SafeMoon executive pleads guilty in $200 million fraud case. And this goes piggybacking off of an update I did on a previous episode where I talked about how SafeMoon was allegedly getting into meme coins. They doubled down on that one. This is big news. This is huge news. The CTO of SafeMoon pled guilty to the charges. It took a long time, right? This thing's been out there for ages. He faces a maximum sentence of 20 years for wire fraud conspiracy and 25 years for securities fraud. And for years, he was fighting, saying he was not guilty, not guilty. You know, all these guys talking about not guilty. And I want to state, just for the record, here's the thing. The bottom line with SafeMoon is it was a scam from jump. From day one, it was a scam. They knew it was a scam. They knew what they were doing. And if you look at the charges that they got these jokers on, it's always about wire fraud. That's the government's fallback. Anytime we're dealing with money and money movement, especially when it's international born or international destination, they use wire fraud, and that's how they nail you. And those have the highest charges because they always go after financial crimes, harder than any other crime. As scammy as that is, they want their damn money. And if they have anything that tells them that they're not going to get their tax money, they're going to come after you always. And that's how it works. That's what they got the dude on with these charges like Manny the Rug Puller and Russ Cult Leader. Meanwhile, the SafeMoon project apparently has a new team around it. It's allegedly a community-controlled project now, as in, but, I mean, think about it. All the money's out of the damn thing, so I don't know. So they said, we're going to launch this new token on the Solana chain and have it be community-owned, 100%. No, because, you know, SafeMoon was talking about utilities, the wallet, and all that shit. They said, we're getting away from that, getting to the fundamentals of meme. Quote, SafeMoon is a meme coin. That's what it should have been from day one. No convoluted promises, no forced utility, just a movement. Because at the heart of every legendary meme coin is a simple, compelling idea, a brand, a rallying cry that people connect with on a deeper level. Stop. Here's the thing. They're not correct in what they're saying. That's not what is at the heart of every legendary meme coin is a simple, compelling idea, a brand. That's not true at all. If you think about Dogecoin, Dogecoin didn't start as a brand. Dogecoin simply started, it was the first meme, but it didn't start with a brand. It didn't start with even an idea. There was no idea of it. It actually was a joke project, right? And it got support because it was treated as a joke. And so then the community put support behind it. There was no active intent to make it succeed until after the fact. SHIB started with an idea and then they pushed on it. And then look what happened. It turned into crap. So I don't agree with what they're saying. I understand what they're saying. I don't agree that using the SafeMoon name, because it's a bad word, just like Satama, for the same reason. Satama is also talking Cytochain. And by the way, they had said, you know, we found these issues with the current Cytochain blockchain. So we got to relaunch and do a thing and do this over here. And I try not to cuss. It's a chaotic nightmare. So I haven't talked about it. SafeMoon is the same thing. And I would argue Cytochain, Saitama is worse than SafeMoon at this point, because at least with SafeMoon, you're not dealing with the new team. You're not dealing with people who are still lying to you about what they're going to deliver. So at least that they're acknowledging, we're just going to be a meme. That's all we're going to do. That's what it should have been. There's no utility and stuff. That also though means necessarily so it's not going to succeed. And that's just the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so, but that's what it is. Now, I wanted to close out and I wanted to talk about absolute, you know, because again, I like these comedy things. I like these hilarity things. I like things that, you know, I don't get a chance to laugh too often. And when I do, it's just, I want to make sure that I, you know, share it with you guys. You know, I want you to enjoy the same level of excitement that I do. You might not find it as funny. I suspect that most of you probably do. That's why I share it, because I suspect most of you probably do. And I do think that, you know, some of it's self-inflicted. Some of it is you just, this is you and you're doing what you're doing and you're holding fast to what it is. And I understand that, but you know, if you want to give it, you better be ready to take it. That's kind of the reality of what the real story of the game and how it goes. So Bleez, a little while back, so it's a couple weeks ago, had done a video, and he talked about some stuff that was happening for Ben Armstrong, BitBoy. All I knew is that apparently Ben disappeared. He disappeared. Cassie was trying to find him and all this other stuff, and she didn't know where he was, allegedly. Didn't know where he was, and put out a plea saying if you've seen him or whatever the fuck, I don't know. So then Bleez did this video. And in the video, and I was absolutely, I'm going to straight say I'm ashamed of him because he keeps doing Chewbacca. And it's like he doesn't realize it. He keeps doing Chewbacca. He's subtly admitting, look it up, admitting he just wants to hook into somebody else's celeb status. That's basically what he's doing. He's hustling, right? I don't knock the hustle, and I don't knock why you're hustling, but goddamn, this situation, the whole situation, the Ben Coin situation, I said, you shilled Strange Emu. When it rug pulled, you put a video and you acknowledged, look, I'm paraphrasing, if you got wrecked because of what I did, I'm sorry. You owned it. Ben Coin was a rug pull. By his definition, Ben, by your definition, by Cassie, how is it then? Ben Coin rugs, but you will not do the same thing you did for Strange, which is just own it and say, if you got into Ben because that's something I did, I'm sorry. Just own it, dude. You did that. You told people this is going to be something. You told people. You don't want to miss that one. You called people idiots that they didn't buy into it. You said Ben's going to make this successful. You even called out Ben putting that tweet talking about, if it doesn't hit top 100 by 2025, I'll delete my account and go offline. And people tried to call him out. And then what does he do? He blocks and mutes and bans and does whatever the F. It's like, call it out. You shilled the token. You trusted him blindly because you just want his celeb status. His celeb status is waning. It doesn't matter how many views he has on YouTube because a lot of those people simply want to see the shit show. They want to see the chaos. They want to see everything crash and burn. And that's why they're dialing in. If we only want crash TV, okay, then Ben Armstrong's the new version of Vince Russo. But let's be honest here. The truth is you shilled a token that ended up being a rug pull. Own it and say, yes, I shilled you and I'm sorry. It ended up being a rug pull. It doesn't matter why it ended up being a rug pull. It ended up being a rug pull. And own it. Say that your trust was misplaced. Say that you were misled. Say the guy used you, because that's what happened, because he even admitted in the video that, you know, he was trying to do this and Ben hasn't talked to him in a while. And then eventually Ben said, I'm trying to keep my inner circle tight, which means he doesn't want him in the inner circle. Well, damn, if the guy tells you he doesn't want your inner circle, at what point do you take a hint? Like, it's like a clingy girlfriend. I don't understand. I really don't. And a lot of people said the same thing. We don't understand. Why are you acting like a clingy girlfriend on this dude? It don't make sense at all. So then I saw on that video, some of the comments that were left, and I thought it was that he did respond to the comments on a different video, and I thought his responses were weak because the comments are calling it like it is, and I wish that he had understood why the comments were happening, owned it, and apologized, and just leave it there. No Chewbacca. And by Chewbacca, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Chewbacca defense. It comes from, what is that, South Park? I think it's South Park. But the Chewbacca defense basically says, you know, I'm going to say something, this is wrong, this is whatever, and you're like, yeah, but that person did it. That's a Chewbacca defense. You're trying to distract from what we're talking about. We're talking about this right here. Focus on that. So when people call out that Ben cheated on his wife and was drugged out for his kid and all this other nonsense, Ben, you know, Bleez will say, well, yeah, but TJ cheated with sex. Nobody cares, bro. Two wrongs don't make a right. Nobody cares. We ain't talking about him. We talking about Ben. Then he'll say, they tried to steal the company from him. Nobody cares, bro. We're talking about what he did negative. Talk about that, only that, and call him out. But everything's a Chewbacca to come back to a defense status of a guy that basically told you, you ain't worth being in the inner circle. You ain't worth shit. So he basically told you ain't worth shit, and you're still defending him? That's why people are doing the comments that they're doing, and why I said his response was weak, because he doesn't seem to understand, bro, you're on the losing side of this one. Not because of your trust, not because of you trying to be a friend, because of why you're doing it. You're doing it because you're trying to essentially, to use a proverb, get in the pants of someone this is what it is. We have to understand, you come across looking like a hypocrite, you come across looking like an idiot, and the bottom line is Ben Coin was a scam. By everybody's admission, Ben himself admitted it got rug pulled and was taken. It doesn't matter if he did it. The point is, it's a rug pull. So, since Strange was a rug pull and you owned it, why don't you own it with Ben? And by own it, I don't want to hear the Chewbacca. I don't want to hear what TJ did to Doot Doot. I don't want to hear the company stole a Doot Doot. I want to hear Ben's a fucking cheater. He cheated on his wife. Ben's a scumbag because of what he did to his kid. Ben did the, he made a promise of 2025. He didn't own up to the shit. Ben disappeared with a lot of people's money. Ben was banning and deleting people on a telescam. Ben shouldn't be showing up at people's houses strapped. Like, you break down, this is the negative. Then you can say, I don't agree with anything he said. However, I want to try to support him because in his time I need to do to do. That's great. After you call out the negatives, straight up, no special effects. That hasn't happened. That's why they're coming at Bleeps, because he hasn't acknowledged his part to play in the scam. It doesn't matter who did it. You played a part because you told people repeatedly that this was the future. This is it. You're missing out. If you don't understand, you don't get into the, you told them that. And a lot of people lost a lot of money. You should own that straight up. So then people came at him, expectedly so, about what happened. User iShop7496 says, quote, another paid YouTube video. The Shit Brothers are once again taking money to mislead their followers. Aaron and Austin are the ultimate sellouts. They'll promote anything for a quick $10,000 to $50,000. They're not stupid, just incredibly greedy. They should know better than take money from shady projects. I even commented on the YouTube channel that Ben Coin will never make it to the top 20. What a joke. As for Ben, he's completely delusional, just another rug pull and scammer. User JohnMatrix2033 says, quote, so you promoted a scam coin. User CryptoBaby says, quote, oh, the old I got hacked, LOL. User ZachyOL6746 says, quote, Ben is a narcissistic, crazy guy. He tore his family apart and deserves any misery he's feeling. His kids saw him become a drug addict that cheated on their mom and never took any accountability. I wouldn't want a part of my life either. He's laying in the bed he made. User BTC Carnivore says, quote, clowns buy shill crap coins. I'm laughing out loud. User Geom6263 says, quote, Ben is crazy. You should stay away from him. User CM Thomas 328 says, quote, oh my God, dude, you're on the wrong side of history. You basically helped pump and dumb. I think he means dump. Ben Coin, LOL. Same user, this dude's an idiot. Oh my God, you don't see value in Discover Crypto, but you shill Ben Coin. Same user, quote, this dude is an idiot. What would Alton, I think he means altcoin, daily, have some rando on their show to tell Ben's side? In court, that's called hearsay. So, bottom line, I'm not going deeper on it because the drama is the drama. And I said that, right? I'm calling out, this is crazy. You know, it. Why? Why don't you call out the negatives? It doesn't matter who did it. Call out the negatives. Don't Chewbacca it. We don't care about TJ. We don't care about the rest of them. It doesn't matter. Two wrongs don't make a right. Because those people, from what I knew, had nothing to do with the token that these people were enticed to buy into. See, that's the difference. People were enticed to buy into a token on the promise that he was going to make it succeed, only to see him spiral into a death knell and take other people's money with them. It doesn't matter whether he directly took the money. He caused those losses. And you were complicit because you were helping to shill it. And that's the call out. It's like, just own that. Own it. Negatives on Ben. No, none of the Chewbacca. Just straight negatives on Ben. Bullet to bullet to bullet. What are the negative shit that he did? Call it out for what it is. Call him out for what it is. What's he going to do? What he already did to you before, where he said, who's this guy? Crypto Bleeps? Who is that? I saw that episode. The dude never respected you. That's the problem. He didn't ever respect you. So why simp for him? Because he wasn't worth it. He wasn't worth a damn to begin with. That was my call and what it was. So in summary, I'm not talking about that nonsense anymore. Even if it's hilarious, I'll keep the funny to myself. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I wanted to share that because it was on my mind and it is what it is. I'm going to sit back, hope for more price drops because I want to buy some more cryptocurrency at some cheap prices, knowing it's going to go on a run because I would love to be able to pay this damn house off in record time.